So I've mentioned that we probably are going to be doing more teaching on the Holy Spirit in future series, but in this particular series, I will preach one more Sunday on this, but here's the reality. It doesn't matter if I taught every single weekend on the Holy Spirit for the rest of the days that I stand on planet Earth. I would never be able to exhaust all that God's Word has to say on this subject. Can you ever say that you fully understood everything that there is to know about God? A preacher I admire from Texas was telling a story of when his son Micah was about 3 years old. His wife was putting him in bed, but he had a question about God, particularly where God was. And she tried to explain, God's everywhere, but she tried to do it in a language that a three-year-old could grasp. So he's a little confused. Is God with us? Oh, yes. God is with us right now. But God is with Mimi and Papa in San Antonio? Yes, God is with them right now as well. And then their little three-year-old son, Micah, said, you mean God's kind of smeared? And she told her husband this story later, and he said, well, good job, honey. You've taught our son to believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Smear. My point is, anything that you do to teach about God is going to be inadequate. And really, at some level, childish, because we are children trying to grasp the infinite. So let's just understand that at the very beginning. I've read a lot of books about the Holy Spirit, and here's one thing that intrigues me as I've read through many of them. Many of them never deal with John 14 through 16, which seems to me to be the place that you need to start. I might be wrong. I don't think I am. I think Jesus is actually the expert on anything that is important to know about, and that the foundation of any theology should simply be, what did Jesus say about this? So I'm persuaded the most important things to know about the Holy Spirit, we're going to learn because we can go and look at what Jesus taught us about it. And Jesus' conviction is that the Holy Spirit is the best gift ever. And one reason Jesus had this conviction was because he delighted in the Spirit's ministry of conviction. So look with me, John 16, this is what my daughter-in-law read so eloquently at the beginning of the service. John 16, beginning of verse 7, it says this. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And I want to spend my time with you this morning unpacking that word, prove. Your translation might say that he will convince, or he will expose, or he will convict. That word means to bring into the light, or to cause to be able to, something to be able to be seen that was in the darkness. And all of us who follow Jesus have experienced the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible calls him he is our comforter, but sometimes he is our discomforter. Because when we begin to go places and we begin to get into realms of things that we should not be, when things start to come into the house that are not supposed to be there, the Holy Spirit is going to let you know. And he's going to discomfort us. And all of us have had that experience. And it is a good thing. when the Holy Spirit exposes an area of our life where darkness is starting to reign. And you say, well, that makes me feel bad. You ought to feel bad. It's good to feel bad about sin. And it is especially good that you are still in enough fellowship with the Holy Spirit that you can hear His voice and be convicted. So all of us who follow Christ understand the Holy Spirit's wonderful ministry of conviction. But in this verse, Jesus is not talking about His ministry to us. He said He will prove the world. And to my knowledge, it is the only time in the New Testament that we have enlightenment on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to unbelievers. Because Jesus says, in essence, the Holy Spirit has something to prove to the world. Because people far from God are not just in darkness. They can't see that they are in darkness. And the reason the Bible says is because Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So they're not just dark. They don't even see they're in the dark. They've gotten comfortable with darkness. In fact, earlier Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And there's the word that Jesus used, that same word. The Holy Spirit will convict the world or prove to the world. People don't like to be convicted. People don't like to have their sin brought out into the light. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because think about it. How does someone who's blind ever come to be able to see the truth? You might try Lucy's approach. Remember Lucy from Charlie Brown cartoons? She's the character that said one day to her brother Linus, I would have been a good evangelist. And Linus says, why do you say that? She said, well, you know that kid that sits behind me in class? I convinced him today that my religion is better than his religion. And Linus said, how did you do that? She said, I hit him over the head with my lunchbox. And sadly, when you study the history of man, most religious war takes that approach. We'll use violence and power and force to bring people to our understanding of faith. This is not the way of the Holy Spirit. Because violence doesn't cure blindness. So instead, Jesus says, and I want you to look at this from the New Living Translation 16 verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Because blindness can only be overcome by a work of God. Think about Peter. He's preaching the very first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has descended. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. People are asking, what in the world is going on? And this untrained, unschooled fisherman starts to preach, and 3,000 people are cut to their heart, and they get convicted, and they get baptized. Why? Because he was such an eloquent speaker? No, because of the mighty convicting presence of the Holy Spirit. They may not have understood much about the Holy Spirit, but they knew this. They needed Jesus. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. They came under conviction. And I have been praying all week that people that are going to be hearing me preach this message today will come under the same exact conviction. And I'm persuaded right now that there are going to be people listening, both in this room and even online, that are hopefully the Holy Spirit is going to call you to see your need for Jesus. And it begins with a new definition of sin. Jesus says he will prove the world wrong about sin. Look at verse 9 from the New Living Translation. Verse 9 says, "The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me." So the first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to shed light on is the truth that sin is unbelief. You're not going to come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior until you get convicted about this thing called sin. And notice, Jesus did not say he will prove them wrong about sins, plural. He said he will convict them about sin because they do not believe in me, because there is one sin that's at the root of all sin, and it's the rejection of Jesus as Lord, his identity, his sovereignty. People are not lost because they are sinners. Now, it's true. You can read lists of sins in the scripture. In the book of Revelation in particular, there's this long list of kinds of sinning for which people will be lost. But you look at that list and everything on there, people in heaven did as well. Because ultimately, you're not lost because you are a sinner. You are lost because you rejected your Savior. Now, Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 24. "That's why I said you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins." And people are in darkness about this. They don't understand that the great sin is to reject Jesus. And so they become very fluent in the language of self-justification. Well, I have to go to heaven. I'm not that bad. I don't sin that much. I mean, I don't sin as much as you do, and your sin is a lot worse than my sin. I'm not as bad as you. Some of you recognize the name Michael Bloomberg. He was a former mayor of New York City. Back in 2014, he attended his 50th college reunion, and he reflected on the fact that a lot of people that he was in school with had passed away, and it caused him to actually think about and consider his own mortality. So someone asked him about Judgment Day, and he reflected on the fact that he'd done a lot of good in his life. He had done some things where he was enforcing stricter gun laws in New York, and that's making people safe, or so he thought. He's helping cut down on smoking in New York City. And here's what he said in response. "I'm telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I've earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." Now, that is a man who was blinded to his own need because he can't see his great sin as he lived in darkness. I would want to say to Michael Bloomberg, if you're that great, then why did Jesus even die? Here's the truth. You are not barely broken, just in need of a life coach. You are fatally flawed, in need of a Savior. This is what the Holy Spirit is trying to help the whole world to see. And one reason Satan wants to keep the church ignorant of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so that we will not partner with him, and the world will stay ignorant of the ministry of Jesus Christ. We need help to shed light on who Jesus is and why people need him. And we have that from the Spirit. Look at verse 9. This is how the Message renders this. "He'll show them their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin." And I'll say it again. Somebody is going to be listening this morning, right now, And the Holy Spirit is wanting to start right here with you. Your rejection of Jesus is the sin that will cost you your eternity with God. And the Holy Spirit is trying to shed light on this for you. The darkness of self-righteousness can only be illuminated by a work of God. And when it is illuminated, we will begin to see true righteousness, and we'll see that it's Jesus who is the source. In fact, look at verses 9 and 10. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. So not only does the Holy Spirit show us that unbelief is sin, but the Holy Spirit shows us that only Jesus is righteous. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be a constant opponent of shadow righteousness. And the only way we're able to maintain this pretense is by comparing ourselves to people that are around us. So I feel like I'm fairly righteous because I know something about how my neighbors down the street live. I know about what the guys in college with me did. I know what some of my coworkers are actually like, and compared to all them, I'm a really good person, right? And then the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit sheds light just on Jesus. And a whole new standard of righteousness is illuminated for you and I. That's what Jesus means when he says, I'm going to the Father. In other words, in my resurrection, my ascension, I'm going to be lifted up. People are going to understand now there's a new standard of righteousness. And here's the thing. Shadow righteousness thinks there's going to be this curve based on everybody else's grade. And I'm not doing that bad. And the Holy Spirit shines the light on Jesus. And then you start to realize, I don't need a little help with my grade. I need the report card that Jesus has. Because mine's straight F's. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus isn't just the standard for righteousness. He is the source of righteousness. And when we believe in Jesus and what he did at the cross, and we unite with his death, his burial, and his resurrection in baptism, he transfers his righteousness to us, and we get credited with his righteousness. And this is something that every single person needs to be able to see. Satan wants you to stay in the dark about this because he wants his fate to be your fate. Jesus said, verse 11, he's going to prove the world wrong about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. Look at verse 11, the latter part. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So there's one more thing the Holy Spirit is going to shed light on. Sin is unbelief, and only Jesus is righteous. And judgment is certain. The Holy Spirit exposes the devil as this deposed despot who has been stripped of his authority. And Satan wants to keep you in dark about that fact, that he's actually the captain of the team who's already lost. And his judgment, and this to me is just divinely delicious. His judgment came on the very day that men in their darkness thought that they were judging Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 31, Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The cross, where Jesus took our condemnation, was actually the place where Satan was being condemned. And now the Holy Spirit is wooing all men and women to come to the cross, to believe in Jesus, to plead for his righteousness, to no longer serve a deposed despot. And this is serious business. Let me tell you about this time in the Gospels where the Holy Spirit is powerfully shedding light on who Jesus is. Jesus is casting demons out of people. The Holy Spirit is always putting the light on Jesus through the scriptures and through the witness of the church and through signs and through wonders. And he's effectively always saying, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. And some people were saying the only way that Jesus could do what he was doing was through the power of the devil. And Jesus, who put up with a whole lot of criticism, stopped the show. And he said, you don't want to cross that line. Every sin you can commit can be forgiven, but the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And let me just be very clear. There is no sin that you cannot repent of and you cannot be forgiven of. Even Paul said, I was a blasphemer, and he became a missionary. So what is Jesus saying? The Holy Spirit is wooing and he's calling and he's witnessing to the deity, to the identity and the sufficiency of who Jesus is. And when you and your hard heart reject that testimony and you spurn it and you turn your back on what the Holy Spirit is saying about Jesus, you have rejected the one and only provision that God has given to you to be saved. Don't go there, Jesus said. Don't turn your back on the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no turning back from that. This is why the Holy Spirit won't leave you alone. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible says God loves the world. In fact, earlier, Kevin referenced this. Jesus said in John 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever doesn't believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You know what I hope will happen today? I hope as you hear this teaching, you will leave more aware and more grateful than you have ever been for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we hardly ever talk about. His gift of conviction. And I hope it will convict you enough to take advantage of the light while it's still shining. Because once you have become convinced of this gift, two things are going to start to happen in your life. And here's number one. You're going to start speaking to the lost about God. A lot of the material that I read about the Holy Spirit focused only on what the Holy Spirit will do for me. Well, what did Jesus say? I will send him to you. Very next phrase, he will convict the world. God is sending the Holy Spirit to you so that you can bless the world. That God will bless the world through you. Jesus has given you and I a mission. We are to take this news of salvation to the entire world. And to do that, by the way, we need help. And here's the second thing. You're going to recognize you need to step out in faith that Jesus did keep his promise and sent us help. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. So when you have a chance with your coworker or your neighbor or your family member or even the server at your table today, when you sit down at a restaurant, you have an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. And then you don't. And it's not because you ultimately lack confidence in your own adequacy. It's because we lack confidence in the adequacy of the Holy Spirit to actually help us do it. You're not anybody's Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be anybody's Holy Spirit. It's not your job to convict anyone. It is your job to be a channel that opens up the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what he does. A lot of you have heard the name R.C. Sproul. He was a great theologian of our generation. He authored a lot of books. He died back in the year 2017. You might not know this. He did not grow up as a believer. He actually went to college on a football scholarship. First week of practices after his freshman year, he's going into the dorms. He and his buddies are going to go hit the bars after they get changed. But he needs to grab his cigarettes from his room. And he sees the captain of the football team sitting at a table. And he invites him to come over. So he and his roommate go over to the table and start to visit with him. And they sit down. And R.C. Sproul said, for 2 hours, he just starts talking about the wonder of the Word of God. It really wasn't a gospel presentation. It was just the wisdom that comes from the Bible. And he actually quoted from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, which says, whether a tree falls to the north or to the south, wherever it falls, there it will lie. And R.C. Sproul said, I've got to be the only person in all of church history that was brought to faith by that verse. He said, when he quoted that verse, there was something very deep inside of my soul that said, R.C., that's you. You're a rotten tree. And your life is going nowhere. So he got up from that table. And he didn't go to the bars that night. He went to his room and he got down on his knees and he surrendered his heart to Jesus. When we partner with the Holy Spirit, we become the light of the world, Jesus says. And by the way, can I tell you one simple way that you can do this? Would you just start inviting people to come to church with you? You know, my heart is to grow this church by 26 families in 2026. But let me be very clear about this. Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So we are God's temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is inside of us. And in a unique way, His Spirit's presence manifests very differently than it does inside of us. But when we all gather together and we are here doing what we're doing this morning, something very unique happens with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see another verse out of 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25. This is what Paul says. It's in the midst of him, by the way, talking about the issue of tongues, and he's trying to correct some misuse and abuse of the issue of tongues. But this is what he says. But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone's prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. It's the same word, by the way, that somehow when an unbeliever gathers with the church and we're just doing what we do, we're lifting up Jesus, we're praising his name, we're talking through his word, we're looking at his word, and the Holy Spirit just starts to do something in the heart of an unbeliever, and light starts to penetrate through hard rock. And they start to see something they've never seen before. They start to see that they actually need Jesus. I'm not being trite here. I'm being as honest as I can be. Something powerful happens when you just bring somebody that needs Jesus to church. And we have got to start believing in the presence and the activity and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the only one who can open up a man's heart. And when we believe that, we will start to open up our mouths. We will speak to the lost about God, and we will speak to God about the lost. And once we begin to understand that this is actually spiritual warfare, that we are trying to penetrate blindness that was created by an enemy, we will start to pray with passion for people who need Jesus. And I don't want this to sound ugly. I think it's vitally important that we pray for those who are sick. I believe God can still heal. But church, why is it that we tend to pray much more about saved people being kept out of heaven than we do about lost people being kept out of hell? And you've got a friend. You've got a son. You've got a daughter or a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad, a coworker, a friend that you know needs Jesus. And I'm asking you, pray for them. George Mueller, a lot of you know that name. As a young man, in his faith, he had five friends that he told to the Lord that he vowed he was going to pray for them by name every day until they came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. His first friend of the five he prayed for came to faith in Christ after 5 years. Two of them came to saving faith in Christ 10 years after that. His fourth friend, 35 years after he had begun praying for him. The fifth friend finally did indeed come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, but it was 52 years later. And it was 2 weeks after George Mueller had been laid to rest. And you know what? You did not come to Jesus Christ. You didn't have faith in him because you're so brilliant. You did not overcome the blindness and the darkness of Satan because you're so smart. Somebody prayed for you. And the Holy Spirit began to give you illumination. And it just seems to me only right that we actually would do for somebody else what somebody had done for us. So we're going to do that right now. I want you to just stay seated. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up here. But I'm going to ask you right now, where you're at, would you start to pray for one person you know in your circle? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt they need Jesus. So go ahead and take a moment. I'm going to pray in a minute, but I want you to take a solid moment, and I want you to pray for someone right now that you know that needs Jesus. Pray for him by name. Go ahead. Oh God, we give you thanks that we were able to come to saving faith in Jesus. Somebody prayed for us. Someone opened their mouth, and the Holy Spirit opened our eyes. And we thank you for our salvation. And now, Father, we beg for this same miracle to happen for others. We ask for the glory of Jesus to be revealed, for light to shine out of darkness. And we pray in the weeks ahead that we will see people come to Christ because of the powerful gift of conviction and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.